Well, good morning. I am so glad that you're here. My name's Hope. I'm our online and social media pastor here at Northwoods. And one of the things that I love to do is to connect with you. Yes, you personally. It's something that I'm so passionate about because I want to make sure that you feel welcome here, that you feel like Northwoods is your church home, a place where you belong and where you can find hope and you can find healing. So if you're new here, I invite you to text the number on your screen, and that's actually going to send a message to me, and you and I can talk throughout this week. I can answer any questions that you have and, again, help you feel more connected here. So please do that if you're new. And you know, another way that you can get connected is in the chat. I'd love for you to just jump in and say, hey, let me know where you're watching from. Say hi to our hosts and volunteers who are here to, again, welcome and greet you and make you feel at home. And this is just a really special community that we have online. And so I invite you to be a part of that. And you know, one of the things that we do as a community is we want to rub shoulders together, right? We want to do life together. And that involves praying for one another. So if you have any prayer requests today, go ahead and click that request prayer button. And someone on our team will be in a private chat with you and can just pray for you and encourage you this morning. Now, for everybody who's tuning in from the Chillicothe area, I want to make sure that you know that starting on June 5th, service times on our Chillicothe campus are going to be at 10 a.m. So that's a change from how we've always done it. And I just invite you to check out Chillicothe. Go to Canton. Their services are at 11 o'clock. Come here in Peoria at 9 or 11. We'd love to see you at any of our campuses. So again, check that out. And for everybody in Chillicothe, starting on June 5th, services are going to be at 10 a.m. at IVC High School. So I hope that your morning is off to a really great start. And before we dive in to worship, I want to invite you to fill out the connection card. And that's really a tool for you. You know, we're going to hear announcements in a little bit. And as the pastor goes through those and lets you know what's going on, you don't have to worry about jotting down the URL or clicking in a number or whatever it might be right away. You can click on the connection card. It'll have everything that's in announcements, and you'll actually get that information sent right to you in your inbox. So it's a great tool for you to get connected like it sounds, but then also to send in prayer requests, give us feedback, ask questions, and all of that comes to real people here at the church. We read those every single week and we take them to heart. So just take a minute and fill that out this morning. All right, well, that was kind of a lot, but that's all that I have for you. Let's get ready to dive into worship today.
Hey, good morning, Northwoods family. Let us stand together. Happy Sunday. You guys excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah, come on. Psalm 95 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation. Church, we believe that God is worthy to receive all honor and all glory. It all belongs to Him. So together, let's put our hands together. Let's unite our voices as we sing to the King of Kings. Come on, let's say it.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
Come on, lift your voice today. We say,
oh, feel ahead. You conquer the grave.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
guys. My name is Amy. I'm one of the pastors here, and I am just so thankful that you decided to join us today. I have a few announcements I'm going to share with you, so you can go ahead and take a seat. Again, thanks so much for joining us this weekend. You know, being a part of Northwoods really means being a part of a larger community and something with purpose. We desire that everyone who is here really experiences growing relationships and a sense of belonging. And so if you're new here, if you have not yet experienced those things I just described, I want to invite you and encourage you to stop by today at one of our new here kiosks out in the lobby. One of our pastors would love to meet you. Or if you would prefer a digital next step, you can also text the word new to the number on your screen, and one of our pastors will respond to you and connect with you this week. So thank you so much for being here. While you have your phones out, and for those of you who don't have your phone out yet, if you want to check out the Northwoods app, we got a couple things in there. First of all, we have the connection card, and this really is an incredible tool for you where you can get information about any of the things I'm talking about today, the things that interest you. You also can leave a comment, you can leave a prayer request, and just know that our team, we really do read every comment, we really do pray for every prayer request that comes in. So please be sure just to take advantage and utilize that tool. And while you're in the app, you can also give your tithes and offerings right there at your fingertips. It's super simple. If you're here in person, of course, you can always give at the drop boxes around the building. You can give by mail. You can give on the website, by text. There are so many ways, and we are so grateful for your continued and generous giving that supports the ministry here at Northwoods. Well, today we are in the midst of our series, Promised Power. It has been a faith-building series, hasn't it? It's been so good. We've been learning more about the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does in our lives. And next week, we're going to have a message on the transformational power of the Spirit. You know, it's really the Holy Spirit who has the power to change our hearts, to change our lives. And we want to be a community who's fully surrendered to whatever it is that the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. And then in 2 weeks, we are actually going to have a guest speaker. His name is Sam Storms. If you've been around for a couple years, you may remember him from when he was a guest a few years ago at one of our conferences. But Sam Storms is a teacher, author, a thought leader, and he is going to be giving us a biblical perspective on the gifts of the Spirit. I know it's going to be a powerful message in 2 weeks. We'd love for you to come back and join us then. Okay, so next I want to talk about some serving opportunities. And church, I believe with all my heart that there is no better place to get connected than in a serving group here at Northwoods. If you are not currently serving or volunteering in any capacity, your starting point is going to be our Four Steps experience. This is a digital experience. You can check it out in our app or on our website. Again, if you're not serving, this is the place to start. We have opportunities for everyone. The Lord has gifted every believer with a unique combination of gifts, abilities, of interests, and all of these things are important and valuable to building his kingdom here today through the church at Northwoods. And so we invite you to participate and check out the opportunities that we have for everyone here at Northwoods. Also, last week, if you were here, you heard Pastor John cast the vision that we are wanting 75 new volunteers in our Discovery Land, in our kids' ministry. And from what I understand, we are actually about halfway to that number, which is incredible. Something to celebrate. We're so thankful to those of you who have already stepped up. But I just want to reiterate his call today and say, if you have just even the slightest nudge in your heart, you will not regret investing in the spiritual growth of the next generation. And so I want to invite you today to stop by the Discovery Land booth and talk with our staff about the different opportunities that there are. And if you're going, well, you know, maybe I would like to do that, but summertime is hard. We're going to travel. We're going to be in and out. You can actually talk to them today about beginning in the fall. So please don't let the chaos of summer prevent you from stepping in today. If you are available this summer, of course, that's a great need as well, and we invite you to come talk to them about that. So right now, I'm going to invite you to stand back up. We are going to sing a few more songs this morning. In Isaiah 61, it says that the Lord gives beauty for ashes, that he gives more, he gives joy to those who are mourning, and he puts a garment of praise on those who are in despair. And all through the Bible, we see the redemptive work of the Lord in the lives of his people. So if you have come in today and you've brought circumstances that are weighing on your heart, you feel that sense of despair, maybe you are mourning, maybe there are just things going on that you're saying, God, I need to see you in the midst of this. Well, my prayer is that as we sing today, that God would pour out his redemptive blessings on your life and in your heart as you acknowledge that there is no one like him and no one better than him.
But it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along, put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied.
was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the cast, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Took my place inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood.
Name.
We pray for revival. We start on our knees. Spirit of God, pour out on us. Whatever it looks like, wherever you lead. Spirit of God, pour out on us.
Say that again, Spirit of God.
Spirit of God, pour out on us.
We say,
where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, chains will be broken. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, miracles come to pass. Spirit of God, pour out on us.
We say we pray.
We pray for revival. We start on our knees. Spirit of God, pour out on us. Whatever it looks like, wherever you lead. Spirit of God, pour out on us.
Say it again, Spirit of God.
Spirit of God, pour out on us.
Come on, every voice. We lift it out, we say,
where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, chains will be broken. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, miracles come to pass. Oh, Spirit of God, pour out on us.
Fear has no power, we say,
where.
Spirit of the Lord.
God, pour out on us whatever it looks like, wherever you lead. Spirit of God, pour out on us. Sing that again, Spirit of God. Spirit of God, pour out on us.
Oh. Church, I want you to stay in that moment. And as I heard that line, I think you said something about we start on our knees. I want to ask you right now, church, if you can, to get down on a knee this morning. Right now, if just in your row, wherever you're at, if you're comfortable, to get down on the knee and let's surrender our lives afresh to the Holy Spirit this morning. Holy Spirit, we surrender ourselves afresh to you this morning. We ask you to come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. Fill every part of us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would manifest your presence in our lives, that we would be a conduit of your power in our lives, or that we'd be a conduit of your character. We surrender afresh to you, Holy Spirit, and we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. Go ahead and grab a seat. Isn't it great to worship together and worship the Lord together? Come on. I don't know about you, but I need that. You get to looking at what's going on in our world, and I'm like, I need my mind somewhere else. I need my mind on the Lord and that he's still king forever. And it's good to be together. And as you heard today, we're continuing in our series, Promised Power. We've been talking about the person of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes to our lives through the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about the message today, I was reminded of a time a couple years ago. I had just finished preaching here at Northwood at the 11 o'clock service. And so I was headed home and I was in the car with my wife, Michaela, and we had just turned out of the church. We were up here, you know, turning right on Wilhelm, going out of the church, if you know what I'm talking about. And as you turn right on Wilhelm going towards Knoxville, there's a four-way stop about halfway between here and Knoxville, right? You know what I'm talking about? There's a four-way stop by that neighborhood. And Michaela and I were in the car, and we came up on this four-way stop, and there was one car in front of us, no other cars at this four-way stop. So we come up, and the car in front of us stops and stops and just sits there. And so I start looking at Michaela and go, what are they doing? There's no one else here. Go. What are you sitting here for? And Kelly goes, John, just be patient. It's okay. I said, how can I be patient when they're parked at a stop sign? So a few more seconds go by. And, I start feeling the need to get the hand motions going because I want the person in front of me to know that I'm angry and I'm impatient. And so if the person in front of me had looked in their rearview mirror, they would have seen something to this effect. What are you doing? There's no one else there. God. Anybody feel me on that one? You've been there? Go! Whole time, Michaela's shaking her head. And finally, after sitting there for even longer, I finally just went, hey, look, and they go, and I go, holy cow, what is up with people today? And so as we're pulling away, Michaela is shaking her head, and she just goes, John, you need to learn to be more patient. And then she says, John, and you also, I just want you to realize, we're like a quarter of a mile away from the church. The person in front of us, there's a really good chance that that is someone who has just left Northwoods. They look in their rearview mirror to see the pastor who just preached screaming at them. Might want to rethink that one. What will we husbands do without our wives? I've had to learn, you know, I had a friend who used to say, when your wife says something to that effect, you just have to learn. She's not attacking, she's adjusting you. Man, you need to hear that, right? Sometimes, you know, we always feel like we get defensive. Your wife's not attacking, she is adjusting you. But I share that story to point out that the daily flow of life has a way of testing our patience, our kindness, our ability to exercise self-control. Can anybody relate with me this morning? You get what I'm talking about. There are just things that happen that seem to kind of expose us, that we're not as far down the road in following the Lord as we thought. You know, as neighbors who somehow have never read the rules of the HOA, like they just don't pay attention to anything. You know, people who use your, Y-O-U-R, when it should be you are, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Any like grammar police in the house? That just gets on your, there's that many of you? Come on. Drivers who drive below the speed limit and then just want to sit out in the left lane in the interstate and just clog things up. Obnoxious Packer fans. I haven't met any of those. I don't know about you. But see, it's in moments like these that we become aware that moment by moment, our lives need to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit if we're going to have any shot at manifesting His fruit in our lives. And so in the passage we're going to look at today, we find that the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And we're going to talk about these today. But before we do, I want to get real clear with us about why this is important. So this morning, I brought two bowls of fruit up here with me. Okay, the first bowl, this is fresh fruit right here. Looks great, tasty, appealing. This bowl right here, this is rotten fruit. Looks nasty, smells, got a few fruit flies. It's leaking, we had to put a towel under it. It's nasty. Now, I show you these to say that our lives can either be marked by fresh fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or rotten fruit. Anger, jealousy, bitterness, impatience. And I want to ask you, if I were to put these two bowls in front of you this morning, which bowl would you want to eat from? Oh, you would choose the fresh fruit. There's something about it that draws you to it. And there's something about this that you're just like, mm-mm, get it away. Now, I want you to get this. Church, we have the greatest truth to share with the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if our lives are marked by rotten fruit, nobody cares what we have to say. But if our lives are marked by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, it can be one of the greatest evangelistic tools there is, because when people encounter that kind of fruit, there's something about them that draws them to us. They're drawn to it. They say, "Why? There's something different about that person, and I want to know more." Which kind of fruit is emanating from your life? And understand, the type of fruit will have an impact on your witness with other people. Not only will the fruit have an impact on our witness with others, but it will have an impact on our close relationships. It will impact our relationship with our friends, with a family, with coworkers, our kids, our marriage. And beyond that, as we talk about the power of the Spirit, I want you to get this morning. The power was never meant to be divorced from character. And I've always remembered I heard the analogy of a dove once. You know, in the Bible, the dove symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Even the artwork for the series, you see there's a dove on there. And doves have 9 primary feathers on each wing. And isn't it interesting that the Holy Spirit in the Bible, there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about in 2 weeks, and there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Kind of interesting if you think about it. Now, what happens if you were to tear the wing off of a dove? Comes crashing down, doesn't it? Or does just one of these, if you only fly in circles. That's a picture of what happens when you divorce the character from the power. You've seen it. There's people who have incredible influence for Jesus, whose lives are marked by the power of the Holy Spirit, but they crashed and they burned. Why? Because there wasn't character to go with it. You want to soar as a church. If we're going to soar as a people, cannot divorce the character from the power. We need both. So yes, we want our lives to be conduits for the power of the Spirit, but we also want it to be a conduit for his character. So the question becomes, how do we get to the place where our lives are consistently marked by fresh fruit instead of this junk over here? How do we get there? Well, to answer that this morning, I want to give you a thought. Juice on my finger here. But don't worry, I brought my handkerchief today. I got one of these, okay? This is why, so I want to answer that question, I want to give you a thought this morning. How do we get to a place where we consistently, our lives are marked by fresh fruit instead of rotten fruit? I want to give you a thought, and we're gonna unpack it in 3 parts, okay? Here's the thought. It's walk by the Spirit, and you'll die to the flesh and produce the fruit of the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you'll die to the flesh and produce the fruit of the Spirit. And this thought comes straight out of Galatians 5. If you want to follow along this morning, you can turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5 in your Bible, or you on the YouVersion app on your phone. Galatians is in the New Testament, just a real small book of the Bible, and it's near the end of your Bible, and it's a letter the Apostle Paul sent to the churches in the ancient city of Galatia. And in chapter 5, he talks about life by the Spirit. And so let's talk about that first part of that thought. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. This comes out of Galatians 5:16, which says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." Now we're going to finish that verse in a minute, but I want to stop here because he says, "Walk by the Spirit." It's speaking to letting him lead, like we just did. It's surrendering our lives afresh every day to the Holy Spirit and say, "Holy Spirit, come and have your way. You lead." And this is so important. You know, you hear us talk about our word and spirit culture here at Northwoods, anchored to the word while actively pursuing power of the Spirit. You need both. Why? Because you can be growing in your knowledge of the word, but not actively walking and following the way of the Spirit. You need both. Has anybody ever heard, you hear people use this term, kind of like armchair expert. You ever heard that term, or have you heard the term armchair quarterback? If you don't know what that is, let me explain. So for example, if you were to come to my house and sit and watch me watch the Packers on a Sunday, you could possibly label me as an armchair quarterback. Meaning, from the comfort of my couch, you'd hear me call out the refs for every penalty and say, "Nah, that's a terrible call. You should have called this." Or you might hear me, you know, get onto the coach and say, "Well, why would you choose a run play? You should have chosen a passing play." Or, you know, start barking at the players and say, "Why would you run that way? You should have gone left instead of right." And you kind of get the idea that, oh man, John knows everything there is to know about football. He's calling out the penalties. He's saying, "This is the plays we should have run." He's talking to the players. But the truth is, I have never coached football. I've never reffed football. And aside from 1 year in 8th grade of football, I've basically never played football. Right? An armchair quarterback is someone who claims to know everything there is to know about football, but has little or no experience actually doing it. And just like there can be armchair quarterbacks, There can be armchair Christians, meaning people who know all the answers, can debate people from Scripture, call out false teaching, critique every sermon they hear, but never actually walk out what the Bible teaches. When it's all word and no spirit, you can get to the place where you know your Bible forwards and back, but you're mean-spirited, you're rough with people, you're condescending, you love to be a keyboard warrior and just get on there and get on social media and just stir things up. Listen, it's a good thing to know the word. We should do that. But knowing the word should cause us to walk by the Spirit. Should cause us to follow in his ways. It's word and spirit. And walking by the Spirit means, like we talked about last week, we're constantly sensitizing ourselves to his voice. We're getting in that quiet place every morning, and we're tuning out the distractions of the world, and we're tuning into, Lord, what are you saying today? Holy Spirit, speak to me. And then when we hear, what do? We obey. It's moment by moment, yielding ourselves to his lead. And in fact, the Lord had reminded me of that earlier this week. On Thursday night at our house, it was Meltdown City. Meltdown Central. Kids are tired, they're crying. You know, I got a couple over here in the corner that are just whining, and then I'm holding Aaron, and the dude is literally screaming in my ear. I'm like, get out of my ear! And I'm one of those people that I mean, if apart from the Lord, I can go 0 to 100 real quick. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's in those moments. On Thursday night, everything in me just wanted to scream, be quiet! Please! Ever been there as a parent? I'm not the only one, right? Okay, you've been there. As I'm holding Aaron, you got kids, you know, our two girls over here crying. Just in those moments, I kept finding myself, Holy Spirit, I yield to you in this moment. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. Please come and have your way in me. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. That's what yielding to the Holy Spirit looks like. It's moment by moment saying, I yield control to you now, Holy Spirit. I don't want any rotten fruit coming out of me. I yield control to you. That's walking by the Spirit, sensitizing ourselves to his voice. It's yielding our lives to him. So Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And then the second part of that phrase I want to give you is die to the flesh, meaning walk by the Spirit and you'll die to the flesh. We see this as he continues in Galatians, because he goes on to say, it said, walk by the Spirit, and then we'll continue with that verse, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Put verse 17 and 18 up there. I think we have those, right? For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, not under the law. So Paul says, you want to know why you freak out when someone parks at a stop sign? Because you still have the flesh. Because of the flesh. Now listen, when we came to Jesus, we became a new creation. That is our identity. Sometimes, you know, we say, I'm just a sinner saved by, you know, by grace. Okay, that's true. But if you think about that statement, it talks about our identity as just being sinners. No, our identity is a new creation. We're saints who sometimes still sin. So we are a new creation. That is our identity. But we still have the flesh, what the Bible calls the flesh. And if you don't believe you still have the flesh, okay, just go out of here today and drop a hammer on your thumb and see what happens, right? The flesh will come out real quick. And the flesh is kind of like weeds. Does anybody in here just, you love to have a lush green lawn? Like, you're that person, I want my lawn looking like a golf course. All right, if that's your lawn, you know this, right? You never get to a place with your lawn where you're just like, I don't have to worry about weeds anymore. It's good. Don't have to lay down herbicide. Don't have to lay down fertilizer. It's good. Did you ever get to that place? No. It's a constant battle, right? It is a battle. And it's the same with us. As long as we live on this earth, we have the flesh. And it will be a battle because our flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And look at what Paul says the acts of the flesh are. In verses 19 through 21, he says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Anybody here with me today? Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the list. If we aren't walking by the Spirit, those are the acts, those are the works that the flesh produces. This is why we must walk by the Spirit and die to the flesh. So how do we die to the flesh? Well, Paul said it, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, let me be clear here, because walking by the Spirit carries with it a passive and an active sense. It's passive in that I invite the Holy Spirit every day to lead me and form in me holy desires, but it's active in that I still choose to follow the path he lays down. I say yes to the Spirit, and I say no to the flesh. Say, I crucify my flesh today, and I choose to follow you, Lord. And as we walk by the Spirit, we will die to the flesh. You know, not long ago, I heard an interesting fact about manatees. Manatees, when they swim in salt water and live in salt water, they pick up saltwater hitchhikers, meaning barnacles. And so I'll put a picture up there on the screen for you. That's a picture of a manatee's tail full of barnacles. And so when they swim around in salt water, they pick up all these barnacles. But what's interesting is that when manatees move to fresh water, all the barnacles die and fall off. They can't survive in fresh water. And so I want you to get that idea in your mind, because it's the same for us. Just like fresh water brings death to those barnacles, so when we live life in the Spirit, walking by the Spirit brings death to the works of the flesh. See, we don't die to the works of the flesh by just trying harder. We die to the works of the flesh by keeping in step with the Spirit. So we walk by the Spirit and we'll die to the flesh. And then here's the last part of that phrase. And we will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Produce the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or the word patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So there are nine fruits here, and I want you to understand, he said, these are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our effort. Fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our effort. I was talking with some of my friends last night. I was kind of laughing about this, but I got a couple apple trees in my yard at home. And so, you know, we'll harvest those things in the fall and make applesauce, and I love making apple pies out of it. Getting hungry already. And so I spend a lot of time around those apple trees in the spring, in the summer, and the fall. And I'll just tell you this. I've never heard that apple tree straining to produce fruit. You know, apple trees don't work to produce fruit. Never been over there and heard that apple tree just going, and boop, out pops an apple. Never heard that, have you? You don't hear fruit trees doing that. They don't strain, they don't work to produce fruit. When a tree has life in it, it produces fruit. When a tree is rooted and nourished, fruit just happens. And as we stay rooted and walk by the Spirit, our lives will begin to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to break down these nine fruits. I've appreciated how others before me have broken these down into different categories. Especially appreciated how my friend Pastor Larry Stock still broke these down. So he talked about how there's three fruits that come to us, three fruits that flow, that primarily flow through us, and three fruits that primarily work in us. So let's talk about the three fruits that primarily come to us. It's not that these can't go through us to anyone else, but they start by coming to us. It's love, joy, and peace. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has poured the love of God into our hearts. We experience that in the presence of God. We experience the love of God. The book of Psalms says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Paul talked about as we present our request to God, the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. So hear me, we don't find love, joy, and peace at Target and on Amazon, right? Love, joy, and peace aren't out there somewhere. They come to us from the Lord, and they come to us as we spend time in the presence of God. Anybody remember that song as a kid? I think we used to sing it here at Northwoods when I was a little kid. I got peace like a river. Anybody remember that song? I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Man, you're getting extra. This is like 2 weeks in a row that I've been singing on stage. Peace like a river in my soul. And then it goes on. I got love like an ocean. I got joy. Joy like a fountain. And I was thinking about that song. And you know what? I found that today, for some believers, that song would sound like this. I got worry like a river, I got fear like an ocean, I got anxiety like a fountain in my soul. Come on, church. That's not us. We got peace, we got love, we got joy. As we spend time in the presence of God, we begin to experience the love and the joy and the peace, and let those be the song of your life. The song of our lives should not be worry and fear and anxiety. Man, I just have to find sometimes. I found myself before going to bed last night, scrolling through the news, and you start reading story after story, and you click on this, and you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on in our world? Oh, whoa, world's falling apart. And I said, you know what? I got to get my head out of the news and get in the Word and start recognizing I got love and joy and peace. I got access to it. I don't have to live in fear and worry. Get in the presence of God every morning, church. I'm telling you. I don't know how people make it in today's world without being in the presence of the Lord. So we got love, joy, and peace. Those come to us. Yes, they can flow through us also, but they primarily come to us from God. And as we do that, it flows into the next three fruits. And these three fruits primarily flow through us to others. Patience, kindness, goodness. Patience, kindness, goodness. These go primarily towards others. So patience. Let me just ask you, you got anybody in your life who just wears on your last nerve? You got anybody in your life who, when they come through the door, you're looking for the exit? I got a few. None of you guys. We have those people in our lives. And we need patience for those people in those times. That's also the word long-suffering in the Bible. And I've loved the picture, this has always stuck with me, of a stick of dynamite with a fuse. When someone is short-tempered, it's like we're a stick of dynamite with a really short fuse. We blow up quick. But I found that as you walk with the Holy Spirit, you spend time in the Lord's presence every morning, you walk by the Spirit, that fuse will begin to get longer and longer and longer and longer. And you can begin to exhibit patience with people. It's not you trying harder, it's just as you walk with the Lord and His fruit begins to manifest in your life, that fuse gets longer and longer and longer. And you can be patient with people. Kindness. Now, I want to define my terms here. I felt pretty strongly this week that when I talked about kindness, I need to define the term here, because in our culture, you'd be led to believe that kindness and biblical conviction cannot coexist. Because we're told those who hold biblical convictions are seen as being narrow-minded, divisive, and mean. So we're told the solution is just be kind, which has an air of throw out your biblical convictions and just let things be. For example, let's take the hot button issue right now in our country, abortion. You can get the idea today that to be pro-life, to hold a biblical conviction and be pro-life, is the epitome of being unkind to women. It's mean, it's abusive. So throw out your biblical convictions and be kind. But contrary to popular belief, it's not unkind to have a biblical conviction that an unborn child is a unique person created by God with a purpose and for a purpose that should be protected from the moment of conception. We can hold that conviction and still be kind. I'm not talking about a kindness that is divorced from convictions. The Holy Spirit does not produce a kindness in us that has zero convictions. He produces kindness in us that flows towards people even when our convictions don't align with theirs. It's being gracious to people. I've always loved the story of Bayside Church in California. When this church got started, and they were originally meeting in a high school, and when they eventually decided to build, there was a lot of opposition in the area where they were going to be building. People did not want them building their church there. And so when they would meet on Sunday mornings at this high school, when the news got out that they were going to start building, they had protesters picketing their worship services. And so in an act of kindness, I love this, Bayside staff went out one cold and rainy Sunday morning to these protesters and brought out hot coffee, donuts, and umbrellas. Here you go. That's kindness even when our convictions don't align. That's the type of kindness the Holy Spirit produces in us. And that type of kindness always has an impact on people. Because later in that day, at the end of that church service, one of the protesters came to the pastor and said, "I don't want this church here because I live nearby, but I was so impressed with how you treated us. So if it's okay, I think I might like to start attending your church." That's what kindness does. That's what happens when fresh fruit comes out of our lives. People say, "You know what? I might not agree with you, but there's something about the way you treated me that just makes me want to know more. There's something different about you." That's what happens when we exhibit kindness. So there's patience, kindness, and then there's goodness. And goodness in the Greek can also mean generous. It's the idea that we have a readiness to give more to others than is expected or even deserved. So someone says, could you shovel my driveway? It's kind of like the idea of, I'll shovel your driveway and I'll get the sidewalks too. It's, I'm going to give you more than is expected or even deserved. So there's three fruits that come to us: love, joy, peace. Three fruits that primarily flow through us: patience, kindness, goodness. And then there's three fruits that work in us: faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As you spend time in the presence of the Lord and you experience His love and His joy and His peace and His patience and kindness and goodness flow out of you, you're going to find that faithfulness becomes a hallmark of your life. And faithfulness is the divine ability to keep your commitments. Now, whenever I officiate a wedding, I almost always talk about that word, faithfulness, because without faithfulness, marriages do not last. Without faithfulness, marriages crumble. Anybody need a little dose of faithfulness in your marriage today? Anybody need a dose of faithfulness in their life? Faithfulness is in you because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you walk by the Holy Spirit, faithfulness will be a hallmark of your life. Faithfulness will begin to emanate from your life. And then there's gentleness. This is strength under control. You know, I have young girls in the house, so occasionally we watch old Disney movies from time to time. And the picture that comes to mind is of the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. And if you remember that movie, Belle had to kind of help the Beast, had to teach him how to keep his strength under control and to learn to be gentle and be gentle with people. See, gentleness isn't weakness. It's just strength under control. So when gentleness is being produced in your life, you won't run over people anymore. If you run a business and you have a staff, when gentleness is being produced through you, you won't abuse people anymore. You won't be abusive in your leadership. You won't try to just control everybody. You'd be gentle with people. So he gives faithfulness, gentleness, and then self-control. And it's the Spirit-produced ability to say no. Anybody need any of that? I know I do. Self-control. And one of the ways you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit in producing this in your life, I want to say this again. I know some of us don't like hearing this word, but it's through the practice of fasting. I know we do that in January, but I've told you, I believe the Lord is calling some of us to a higher level, and that happens through fasting. So I've experienced, the reason I say this, because I've experienced this firsthand in my life. I have come out of fast, and I'm sure some of you have too that have fasted, finding that I have greater levels of self-control and the ability to say no to the flesh in ways that I wasn't able to before. Charles Duhigg, in his book, The Power of Habit, it's not a Christian book, but it's an interesting book on habits, talked about what he calls keystone habits. And he defined them as kind of small tweaks, small changes or habits that have a ripple effect and carry over into every area of our life. In other words, keystone habits are habits in which when they shift, they dislodge and remake other habits. And I remember reading that a few years back and thinking, like, I wonder, like, is this a biblical concept? Like, are there keystone habits in the Bible where if I can get here, everything else will shift? I think that there are. For example, the book of James makes the case that if you can tame the tongue, you can turn everything else. So I think speech is a keystone habit. But I also think that fasting is a keystone habit, because when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit and say no to your physical appetite, you suddenly find a newfound empowerment to say no to every other appetite in your life. I want you to think about it. If you can't control your physical appetite, you will struggle to control every other appetite in your life, whether it's your sexual appetite, the appetite to be famous, to be envied, whatever that appetite is. And so if you're here today and you say, you know what, I struggle to overcome this sexual appetite that leads me down the wrong path, or an appetite that just, I just want to be envied, and whatever the appetite is, it might be a good indication that it's time to fast. And so as you fast, you just say, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would produce a greater measure of self-control in my life. And here's what's great about this. When you begin to produce, when the Holy Spirit empowers you to produce the fruit of the Spirit, as you grow in the fruit of the Spirit, here's what happens. You can also sow the fruit of the Spirit. Because now you got something to sow with, right? Fruit's got seeds in it. So you grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and now you can sow this, you can plant seeds wherever you go, because you got the fruit of the Spirit in you. So as we close, do you want to be someone whose life manifests fresh fruit or rotten fruit? I want to be someone whose life is marked by fresh fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we do that. Walk by the Spirit, and you'll die to the flesh, and you will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, church, as we close today, we're going to celebrate graduates. And so we are going to ask, I'll have everybody stand at this time. We're going to pray for graduates today, and we have a little gift for them. But if you are a graduate today, whether that's college, whether that is high school, or whether you have graduated from eighth grade, I want to call all of you down front, and we want to pray for you this morning and celebrate you. So graduates, come on forward right now. Church, come on, let's give them a hand. Let's clap for them, celebrate them. We love you guys. We honor you today. Come on forward. Graduates, eighth grade graduates, high school graduates, college graduates. Come on over here to the front, guys. Come on over here. Here we go. We got some graduates. Proud of you guys. Want to celebrate you today. And so we have a book for you here in a moment. It's called 21 Seconds to Change Your World. It's a short book on prayer. And in the book, the author contrasts the Lord's Prayer with Psalm 23. And he talks about how you can pray through those in 21 seconds. And if you begin to make that a habit in your life, it will change your entire world. But we want to pray for you this morning. So not only are we excited for you, but we want to pray for you. And church, I want you to join with me in this in a minute and just by just stretching a hand. But I just felt so, it just felt so on my heart that we need to pray for you. Because whether you're heading into high school, whether you're heading to college, whether you're stepping out into the world, it's tough to stand for righteousness and to stand for Jesus. And so we're going to pray that he would strengthen you this morning. You know, in the Bible, Jesus said to Peter that he said, Satan has asked to sift you, Peter. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. So we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray that God would protect you, give you the ability to stand. But also, I want you to know, in the Bible, it talks about standing in the gap. And one of the prophets was saying, I'm looking for someone who will repair the gap of righteousness in our culture. And that's who you are. God's calling you to be one who says, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stand for righteousness in our culture. That's who you can be. That's who you are. And so, church, I want you just to extend a hand forward. And we're going to pray for these graduates. So, Lord, I thank you for every single one of these young students down here, every single one of these graduates, whether it's a college graduate, high school graduate, middle school graduate, eighth grade graduate. Lord, I pray, just like you said, Jesus, to Peter, that Satan has asked to sift you, but I have prayed for you. We pray for these graduates this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would go before them. And in the places where there are choices to be made, where parents aren't there and it's just them in those moments, Lord, I pray that they would not be deceived in those moments. But Lord, you would go before and you would guide them, you would direct them. And I pray that just as the psalmist said, you would set their feet on solid ground, Lord. And that they would be a generation who stands for righteousness, is not afraid to stand. We pray courage, we pray strength over them, and we pray your blessing. And Lord, we just love them, we release them to you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, church, give it up for our graduates. We love you guys. You guys can grab a book. Now listen, church, we're about to dismiss, but with today, you know, we thought with honoring graduates, the graduates get a book. But everybody, we thought with on the fruit of the Spirit and celebrating graduates, we thought it'd be great if we left here and we gave you some ice cream that was fruit flavored. So we have Uncle Bob's out in the lobby. There's blackberry and there's strawberry. You grab one of those on your way out. Who doesn't like ice cream at 10:08 in the morning? Come on, I could do it anytime. So thanks so much for being here. Have a great week. Graduates, grab a book, and the rest of you, grab some ice cream on your way out. Northwoods Online, I'm sorry we can't give you ice cream online. I wish we could do that, but maybe come on, check it out sometime. But anyways, glad to have you with us. Always great to have you tuning in with us. Be that person who says, you know what? I'm going to be someone whose life is marked by fresh fruit and not rotten fruit. Have a great week.
All right, well, what another awesome message in our Promised Power series. I have just been loving what we have been learning about the power of the Holy Spirit. And just two quick reminders, you know, in announcements, you heard us talk about serving, and we talked about Discovery Land and serving with the kids. But I just want to make sure that you know that if you would like to serve, check out the four steps. That's your first step, is to go through those classes, and then you can look through the opportunities finder and see what options are available. And if you love children, then I definitely encourage you to join the Discovery Land volunteer team. But maybe you're more of a behind the scenes person, or maybe you want to do something creative. Maybe you're really great at woodworking and want to see how you can put your gifts and talents to work, no matter what they are. I encourage you to check out the four steps classes and check out the opportunities finder, because when you join a volunteer team here at Northwoods, not only are you getting to put your gifts and talents that God has uniquely given to you to work, but you also will join a community. You'll join a team of other volunteers who are like-minded, who have similar passions, and who can encourage you and grow alongside you in your faith. So again, we'd love for you to join the volunteer team here at Northwoods. And also for anybody who is watching in the Chillicothe area, this is just one more reminder that starting on June 5th, the service times in Chillicothe are going to be at 10 a.m. at IVC High School. So like I said in the intro, we would love for you to check out any of our campuses in Canton, Chillicothe, and Peoria. We would love to see you here, and we're so thankful that you're tuning in with us online. We'll see you next Sunday.